to episode 22 of the Skip to the End podcast. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Mark.
And on this episode, we're going to be reviewing Poltergeist.
Whoa.
What?
We're not doing it.
Why?
Absolute bag of shit.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, good.
I've seen it. I hated it. I'm not reviewing it. I'm sorry. I'm not giving it any time on this podcast. It can go fuck itself.
What do you want to review instead?
Jurassic World.
Let's do that then.
Cool. All right.
Wicked.
So on this podcast, we're going to review Jurassic World. We're also going to be talking about our top three actors of all time. And the rewatch this week is, good God, The Room.
Oh, spoilers.
So that'd be a fun one. We're also going to be skipping back in time. Does that work? Is that how you'd say it?
We're skipping
back in time to 2008 to talk about our favourite films from that year. So let's get started.
Right then, fellas, this is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Top three actors, your favourite of all time. This has been, for me, the hardest topic so far.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it straight to you, Ben. Tell me one of yours.
I never do mine in order, as you know.
Of course.
But this one, I'm going to come out with the big guns. This is my favourite actor of all time. I've said this on the podcast on multiple occasions, I think. It's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I think he's untouchable. Didn't used to like the guy. I think I've told this story on the podcast before. Didn't used to like the guy. He was just a pretty boy from Romeo and Juliet and Titanic. I'd have been happy if he died. But then I saw Catch Me If You Can, which is an unbelievable film. And again, prior to that, I didn't really like Tom Hanks either, but I love both of them in that film. And then since Catch Me If You Can, I've seen him in everything he's ever done. And he just gets better and better and puts in these incredible performances. I think my favourite performance of his is in The Departed, where he reminds me of a young De Niro. It's no surprise to me that he's Marty Scorsese's muse these days, like De Niro was back in the day, because he has that same sort of coiled intensity in that film. And then you look at the other films he's done. Blood Diamond, you know, the wacky accent aside, he's brilliant in that. Shutter Island is superb as well. Django Unchained. You know, people always talk about Christoph Waltz in that film, but, you know, you can't overlook DiCaprio as Calvin Candy. He was superb.
Mm-hmm.
The list goes on and on. I just think he's brilliant, and every film he does, I can't wait to see. And I didn't particularly love Wolf of Wall Street as a film, but I thought he was superb in it.
I had a feeling you were going to pick him just because of your comment before when you said that he's the one guy you didn't like and then suddenly he changed everything mm-hmm. for you. And I can't argue with any of that. He's not in my top three, but just listening to those films, there's not one film you've mentioned that I don't like. And he is the best thing in each of those films. Even stuff like The Beach. It's not a great film, but I loved him in it.
Yeah.
Who's Eaten Gilbert Grape? One of his early films.
Really
he was really good in that. And The Basketball Diaries was just sensational. So you knew at that point this guy's going to go on and do big things. And the best bit about it is it's like he's still quite young in the way that Hollywood works. So he's still got another 20, 30 years out of him.
God,
so
I
can't wait to see what he's got ahead of him.
And he's maturing as an actor. He gets better and better. So I think he's going to do even better work as the years go by.
Watch him now announce like Rocky and Bullwinkle 2. Just to ruin everything we've said.
To follow in De Niro's footsteps even further.
Yeah, he's actually in my list as well.
Yay.
He had to be.
Yeah.
I echo every sentiment you've just said. The man is, and this word is bandied around a lot these days, but for him, genius.
I'd go with that.
He is actually a genius. What he does, a lot of his performances, especially recently, have been masterpieces. You mentioned Calvin Candy then in Django Unchained.
Yeah.
You could argue the only reason he wasn't in the supporting actor category that year or had any chance was because of Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man deserve an Oscar this much and not have one.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? I think he's had something like 5 nominations or something like that, but the fact that he hasn't won one is bizarre.
To see him lose it to Christopher Waltz as well is absolutely fine.
Christoph Waltz?
Sorry.
Old school.
But I think there's probably 2 years where you think, actually, you know what, he didn't deserve it that year. The person who beat him did. But there's probably 3 or 4 of the nominations he's had where you think, how's he not won that?
Well, I think the worst thing for him was the fact that Departed and Blood Diamond came out in the same year.
Yeah.
So he was nominated for Best Actor for Blood Diamond, even though he was better in The Departed.
Mm.
But I think if you do too much good work in 1 year, you spread yourself a bit thin and people don't know what to vote for. I think if he'd have just done one or other of those films in that year, he'd have won it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, actually. I think that's what you say. It's like when you see anyone in a category twice, like the sound categories and things like that, you think they're probably not going to win it because people have to vote between the two.
Yeah. But he is magnificent. And, you know, even other films that we've not mentioned, I keep coming to more, like The Aviator.
Yeah,
that film. Gangs of New York as well. That film's badass.
Yeah. I absolutely love Gangs of New York.
Yeah, and it wasn't that highly rated. People looked at it as like a lesser Scorsese film, but it's brilliant.
And he's up against Daniel Day-Lewis in that.
It's who is also amazing. Shit, I've just forgotten about Daniel Day-Lewis. this is what's going to happen. We're going to keep thinking of actors. I'm like, shit, why is he not in my list?
Trust me, we'll talk about him in a bit.
Lovely stuff.
Right, I'm going to lead off with my first one, Tom Hanks.
Good choice.
Now, I know, Ben, you don't like some of his work as Forrest Gump.
It's one of the worst films ever made.
Yeah, but it all started for me when he was Joss Baskin in Big, which you all know how much I love that film. I would literally get a tattoo of that film. I love it that much.
Brilliant. I'm going to hold you to that.
Next week, watch me with a Zoltar on my chest. Captain Miller, obviously, in Saving Private Ryan, which is sensational, one of my favourite war films.
Mm-hmm.
I love Forrest Gump, I'm sorry, but I think he is a master in that and he deserves every bit of credit he gets, but I understand your hate for it.
It's terrible.
The Green Mile, Paul Edgecombe. I mean, that role made me cry. Stop looking at me like that. People can't see this. If we're on a camera right now, he's looking at me as if to say I'm a fanny. The voice work he does, Toy Story, you forget about, you know, he's incredible.
Reach for the sky.
Exactly. Castaway, he steals that whole film. It's him for 2 hours on his own.
He steals it from who?
Yeah, from Wilson. Catch Me If You Can as well. There he goes. Mm-hmm. He's up with Leonardo and I think he still delivers a great performance. Even back in Turner and Hooch when I was a kid watching that. What a film that is.
Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah. The Burbs.
The Burbs, yeah.
Absolutely superb.
See, as I say, I didn't, there was a period where I didn't like Tom Hanks. It was when he was doing his Oscar bait film, so he was doing things like Philadelphia and Forrest Gump. It was then I didn't like him. The shit he did prior to that, all the wacky comedies in the 80s, like The Burbs. And I used to love him then. Yeah. I remember going to the cinema with my mum to see Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah.
Terrible film, but I loved it.
The Burbs is a masterpiece as well. I will actually say that it is. And he deserves... I'm glad that he's...
What decade was that?
Yeah, it's true, but what a fine actor. And the fact is, if you look at everything I've said, then he's done war films, comedies, action kind of cop
his drums. Range is incredible,
insane.
He's got a new film coming out, I think directed by Spielberg. I think it's called Bridge of Spies or something, where he plays like a lawyer for the CIA or something. It looks really good.
Yeah,
he does everything
brilliant. And my favorite film he's done is Big.
I
can't argue with Tom Hanks either. I know. Like you said, you there was a period where you didn't like him, but you have to respect the body of work.
Oh, God, yeah. There's enough of his back catalogue that I love that I would happily put him probably in my top 10.
Yeah.
He's not a Kevin Smith where it's like 8-2. It's probably about 9-1. It's just Forrest Gump, you hate, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It pretty much is just Forrest. I just hate that film so much.
Rewatch. Right, Ben, let's hear another one of yours.
Christian Bale.
So good.
The Dark Knight himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's been around for a long time. The first film I saw him in, or the first film I remember seeing him in, was American Psycho. And he is so good as Bateman, just so scary and funny as well. And he just owns that film. And then I've seen him in a lot of other stuff as well. And one of the things that people talk about a lot with Christian Bale is how he changes his physique for films. Mm-hmm. So you see him in something like Batman and he's buff as all hell. And then you see him in The Machinist and he's... You know, he's like a bag of bones and, you know, he really commits to his characters and stuff. And I just think he's a really dedicated actor and a brilliant one as well. And he's another one that it was amazing that he'd gone so long without winning an Oscar. And then he finally got one for The Fighter, which he well deserved because he's brilliant in that. And then, Adam, I know you didn't love American Hustle as much as I did, but I thought he was brilliant.
Well, that's it with Bale. I mean, you look at his range, all the great films he's done.
Mm.
I mean, like you said, American Hustle, The Dark Knight trilogy, Equilibrium.
Yeah, Equilibrium.
The Machine of the Fighter, Terminator Salvation. I mean...
Not so much.
My favourite film of his, American Psycho.
Yeah.
He steals that film.
Exactly the words I used about it about 2 minutes ago.
But I'm just commenting on saying that is my favourite performance of his. Batman, he's great, but that's the one where I keep going back to and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I think the word I'd use is solid. Even if he's in a bad film, he's generally good in it.
Oh, he's dependable, yeah. And he has been in some... bad films.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that was like The True Story of Pocahontas or some shit. What was that one?
I don't know what that is. But...
Okay, that's not what it was called. Oh, God. The New World or something like that was called, but it was garbage. And he was in, was it Reign of Fire, the one with dragons? That was also shit. But he's always great, but he has been in a lot of.
Have you mentioned
crap.
The Prestige?
The Prestige! Yeah. No, love that film.
How good is he in that?
He's amazing. It's a
that's
great movie.
When Nolan was like, this guy's going to stay with me for
phenomenal.
A long time.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I just want to go watch loads of films now. Yeah, good choices so far.
Yeah.
Okay, so my second one is Kevin Spacey.
Nice.
Had to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's one where his range isn't that great. You look at American Beauty, Usual Suspects, mm-hmm. Seven.
Yeah.
You know, the big films. All very similar characters in certain aspects. But what he does do is, you mentioned intensity earlier with Leonardo DiCaprio. He's got a different level of intensity. When he's on screen in these films, you are literally mesmerized by what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Seven. That last scene in Seven, I'm not going to go into it in too much detail because I don't want to spoil it for anyone that hasn't seen it. But by God.
Anyone who hasn't seen a 20-year-old film.
Yeah.
Yeah, his wife's head's in the box.
Brilliant.
Come on, sod them. Let them listen. Sorry.
That whole just intense moment, suspenseful, and he just plays it so well.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Usual Suspects, the exact same thing. He's telling the story.
Yeah.
And he's just leading these people down on this merry path.
That the scene at the end when you start to, or rather the FBI guy, the cop, or whatever, he starts to put together all the bullshit he's told him. He's looking at the mug and the corkboard and all that sort of stuff. And then you see him, Verbal Kint, walking away and with his gimpy leg, and then he just starts to even out, and you realise, he was Kaiser Soze all along!
Just a great performance overall. Why are we just spoiling all of Kevin Spacey's films right now?
Because if you haven't seen them by now, you never will. You should have seen them. If you listen to this and you love films, you should have seen these. So it's your fault.
And the best thing that Kevin Spacey's ever done for me is a film called Swimming with Sharks.
You've mentioned this before.
And I've still not watched it.
You've got to see it. Anyone out there who's not heard of or seen Swimming with Sharks, do. He plays a Hollywood executive, and it's Kevin Spacey's brilliant at playing sort of motor-mouthed arseholes.
Yeah.
And he plays this role to perfection. And then it's about a guy who he comes to work with him as his underling, and he mistreats him, and then this guy snaps, and it's phenomenal. The first half of the film, when he's being this motor mouth arsehole movie executive, he's just hilarious and rude and nasty, and in that same sort of way that he's a bastard but you love him, like the guy in Whiplash.
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, like J.K. Simmons was in Whiplash, so it's similar like that. But then in the second half of the film, when the guy turns on him, it becomes a much more dramatic role, and there's one particular monologue that he gives that's heartbreaking. Go and see that film, or, you know, buy it, rent it, whatever you need to. Swim with Sharks, best thing he's ever done.
And I'm not even ashamed to say I liked him in Horrible Bosses.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Thought he was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him in that a lot.
Right then, my turn. My second choice is Kurt Russell.
Nice.
He is an absolute legend for me. You know this.
Yeah.
What's he been in?
Well, amazing films like Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
I'm still not ready to talk about the announcement that was made this week with The Rock, so I'm not ready to talk about it. So Jack Burton in that film is incredible. Obviously, Snake Plissken in Escape from New York, which is a great film. We all know how much I love The Thing.
What?
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of it. Even films back in the day, like Backdraft, you forget he's in that masterpiece. And even in the more recent stuff like Death Proof, I absolutely love the guy. And because he's been in probably 3 or 4 of my top 10 films, that's why he rightfully gets this.
Yeah.
There are better actors out there, but it's about who I love the most and who I'm passionate and favourite. And he is, well, he's the dude for me.
I loved him in Fast and Furious 7.
Yeah.
Small role, but he was brilliant in it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see him popping up in the new one that's been announced.
Why are you saying it like that, as if it's a secret, as if we're in on something we shouldn't know?
I'm just saying it because...
When does this episode go out? Because it might not have been announced.
Yeah, I've only just had a text. But no, he'll be in the next one. And I like that he's not in too much now.
Yeah.
And I don't like Death Proof at all. I really don't like that film. Yeah. So he's all right in that.
I don't think I've met anyone that does.
Yeah, I'm all right with it, but I don't particularly like it. But Kurt Russell, he's one of them that if a new film's coming out, I always go and look on IMDb and read about the film and see who's in it. If ever I see his name in a film, I'm like, well, at least I know there's going to be something I'll like.
Yeah.
I always enjoy him. He's so charming and just an enjoyable actor that I just love watching him on screen.
And he should always have a beard.
And an eye patch.
And Snake Plissken. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Plissken rules.
Right then, last one.
Similarly to you, my final pick, I've gone with someone who isn't necessarily one of the best actors of all time. I would say DiCaprio and Bale are up there with the best actors of all time. This final person is someone I just find so entertaining that I love everything he's in. It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
He's just a god to me. He's just one of the coolest motherfuckers out there. And then when you think of the list of films he's been in, you know, all the Marvel films he's been in, for one thing. He was in Star Wars. He was Mace Windu, for fuck's sake. Die Hard with a Vengeance, which is the second best Die Hard for me.
Yep. 2 out of 3, definitely.
It's an amazing film. He's also in, obviously, the Tarantino films. Mm-hmm. He's been in Jackie Brown, Pulp Fiction, Django Unchained, and he's amazing in Django. He's another one as well who doesn't get his due for Django because he's superb
incredible.
In that. So funny in that. He's just been in so many. He's been in every film, basically.
Snakes on a Plane.
You know, he's never seen a paycheck that he didn't like. So he's Snakes in a Plane. So he's in every film ever. And I'm sure he actually holds the Guinness record for being the highest grossing actor of all time.
Wow.
Which is going to happen if you're in every film.
Yeah.
You know. But I love him for it, and I will watch anything that he's in. Things like 51st State and, you know, shit comedies that he's in. I loved him in Kingsman, he was in recently. I thought he was great in that.
Brilliant in Kingsman.
And I love the fact that he had a lisp in that film, and he said that the reason why he did the lisp was in honour of Jonathan Ross. Brilliant.
Little, but I just love the guy. Little story you might not believe. I actually went to the premiere of Snakes on a Plane.
Jesus.
I went to the Edinburgh Film Festival to see Clerks 2. And it was on the day afterwards, and there was no publicity about it because it was about 2 months before it came out. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, anything that's called Snakes on a Plane, I need to see. I saw the poster with the snakes going around a whole plane. I thought, this is made for me. This is utter crap. Went in, and I just couldn't believe that he'd signed up to do that film. Masterpiece as well. I love it.
Brilliant. I saw a film of his recently. It's very recent, called Big Game. I don't know if either of you saw it.
I've not seen it. This is the one where he's the president, isn't it?
Yeah. It's funny because the adverts for the film make it look like your typical action blockbuster. It's Samuel L. Jackson holding a big gun and it says Big Game. What the film is actually about, it's a Finnish film. It's been made by a director in Finland, written and directed by this guy, the same guy who did that Rare Exports. I think you know that, don't you, Mark? And basically the film is about this 13-year-old kid, and when you turn 13 in Finland, to prove that you're a man, you get sent out into the woods to hunt. You have to go and kill something, bring it back to your family, then you've proven you're a man. So this kid's out hunting, and then all of a sudden Air Force One's flying over Finland, gets shot down by terrorists, and this 13-year-old kid has to help the president, Samuel L. Jackson, to survive and get away from these terrorists. And it's such a throwback to sort of 80s B-movie action films. It's brilliant.
I'm going to go and see this
Check it out.
If we have any Finnish listeners, can you let us know, is that actually a tradition in Finland?
It could be bullshit. I don't know, but I'm going to take it as a real tradition.
I'm quite curious to know.
Skip the end, they're going on tour. We're going to Finland.
Nice.
Love it.
Adam, your favourite actor? Well, not in order, but, you know.
No, this probably is the best actor of his generation by far.
Better not be Danny DeVito.
I'll just change it now, won't I? No, Daniel Day-Lewis. We spoke about him earlier.
Excellent choice.
I don't think there's ever been an actor who's been as selective as he is as well.
Yeah.
I think he's probably done about 5 films since 2003 or something like that.
Yeah.
He has been phenomenal, though. He has not done everything brilliant. He recently... In the last two of his 5 films he's done in the last sort of 10 years have been utter garbage.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Was one called like 9.5 or something like that? Yeah. Shit.
And one he did basically for his wife from the looks of things.
Right.
That just wasn't very good at all. But Lincoln.
Brilliant.
He is Lincoln. He is every role he plays is a man transformed.
Mm-hmm.
He is not Daniel Day-Lewis. He is the person he's playing.
Yeah.
Even I've mentioned before Daniel Plainview in There Will Be Blood.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Gangs of New York earlier. It's the Butcher.
Yeah.
Will Cutting. Alongside DiCaprio as Amsterdam Ballon. They just have some of the scenes in that, the intense just conversations. Not even the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It was chilling.
Just the conversations.
It left me feeling cold.
Were
honestly.
Remarkable. And it's the same thing in everything he does. He doesn't have to do an action film. He doesn't have to do fights, explosions, things like that. When he has a conversation with someone, there is more action in it than...
The Expendables.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's brilliant. You know, he's a method actor. You believe it. Because he lives the role. When the cameras turn off, he's still the character.
Yeah.
He's still, you know, Bill the Butcher and stuff, which is a terrifying thought, you know, when he's down at the canteen getting some chips. He's still Bill the Butcher. Do you know what I love? You know you're saying about how he doesn't make shit films or he's only made 5 films in the last 10, 15 years or whatever. Do you know what he does in the interim between films?
I actually don't know.
He goes off and becomes a cobbler. He cobbles.
Really?
Yeah. He does things to fill his mind or, you know, fulfill him creatively outside of acting. Yeah. And one of the things he's been is a cobbler.
Wow. That. Why not?
But obviously, before he was in Gangs of New York, he actually went and became a butcher for a while.
Yeah.
Just so he could learn how to cut meat properly. Yeah. So that there's a scene where someone's actually in his butcher's shop and he's actually cutting it all properly.
Yeah, method, pure method.
I love the fact he rocks up every 3 years. Like, I'm here now, let's do a film, cool, get the Oscar, walk away, have a holiday.
See you later.
And that's the other thing. He comes back, gets an Oscar and leaves.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Carry on doing it.
Nailed it.
He said after Lincoln he's taking a break now, so I'm looking forward to see what his next project is.
Yeah.
Let's just think about that for a second.
Maybe he's in yoga hoses.
Imagine that. He just completely ruined everything.
I think he'd rather die.
Yeah. I'd rather die.
Right, my number one, Bill Murray.
Excellent. Nice.
Yeah.
Now, recently I watched St. Vincent, which is not a great film, but I realised I went to watch it because he was in it. Yeah. That was purely it. It could have just said, Bill Murray's in a new film, and that's it, and I would have gone and paid money to see it. I also recently saw Moonrise Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not a fan of the director too much, are you?
Wes Anderson. I don't know, but I loved... the hotel one, Grand Budapest Hotel. Yeah. So I need to go back and watch Moonrise King.
Yeah, he's brilliant in that. Even just his cameo in Zombieland as himself is incredible. I watched a film called Broken Flowers as well, which I really enjoyed with him in. But then I have to go for his role as Bob Harris in Lost in Translation. That's an hour and a half of him just showing how to be Bill Murray and nailing the role in every way you could have. Again, growing up, one of my favourite films, Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
Phil in that is sensational. You'll laugh. It's one of my most watched films, which is quite ironic about the story. And he's in Ghostbusters. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What else do you need?
Yeah.
I will watch anything with him in it. I'll always enjoy it. And I've noticed that my most watched films always have him in it. So he is my favourite actor.
You need to go back and watch some of the really early comedies as well, when he was still in Saturday Night Live or after he left. Things like Caddyshack and Stripes and those sorts of, they're hilarious.
He's God, isn't he, really? He's just a legend.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I want on this podcast one day. I really do.
He hasn't even got an agent.
No.
You can't get hold of him.
No.
Hollywood executives and the likes of Steven Spielberg can't get him.
Leave it with me.
We might, though.
Next week.
I just remember reading a story about him, about a couple that were trying to take their photos for their engagement invites that were going out for their engagement party.
Mm.
And the cameraman was trying to take these photos, and the couple kept laughing. And he was like, "What are you laughing at?" And the cameraman turned around and Bill Murray was just standing behind him trying to make them laugh. And the groom just said, "Do you want to come in our engagement photo?" And Bill Murray just said, "Yeah, okay."
He's a legend.
But he didn't stand with them. He literally stood about 3 foot away from them at the side. It was just in the photo.
Just looks like it was photoshopped anyway.
What we normally do with this is we find it really hard. Was there any quick worthy mentions that you just felt was really difficult to leave off the list that you just want to give a little nod to? Was there anyone that you thought, "God, is this killing me to do this?"
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah,
Fiennes is great. Not really,
no.
But I'm pissed off that I didn't think about Daniel Day-Lewis because he may have made my list if I'd given it more thought.
I just thought when Mark mentioned Zombieland, Woody Harrelson.
He's superb. Have you seen The Messenger?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a film.
Jack Nicholson as well. He was between him and Kurt Russell because of The Shining, Batman, The Departed. I just felt really bad leaving him off. And in a few years' time, I wouldn't be surprised if I say Joaquin Phoenix for the way he's being with stuff like Her and Gladiator.
He's going the way of Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's being very selective about what he does, but everything he does is very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
As always, we put this out to the social media. I've got a few, and there's a lot of new listeners. I've noticed a lot in America and Canada, so thank you for taking the time to listen, and all your input's really appreciated. So we've got Sean Butler with Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford and Christopher Waltz. I mean, that is insane. That is insane, isn't it, though? That is... I thought Pacino would be in one of ours.
It's got to a point in which you're going to struggle to get this wrong.
Yeah.
If you say, what's your top three actors?
Yeah.
It's going to have to be really bad to get it wrong.
Well, on that note, Steve Jordan, might be a joke, but you put Hayden Christian.
Brilliant.
Adam Sandler.
Shame.
And Bouncer from Neighbours.
Definitely a joke.
Oh, you never know with these
people. What the fuck's Bouncer from Neighbours?
The dog.
Brilliant.
On Twitter, we've had new listeners at Nerd Haller Valkyrie, Tom Hiddleston, Robert Downey Jr. and Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, yeah.
He was difficult to leave out.
See, Tom Hiddleston, I love a lot.
But I want to see more.
He needs to do a lot more. He's early at the minute.
We've had... at Mamster Lynn, Liam Neeson, Tom Hanks, Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda, yeah.
Very good shout out.
Mm-hmm.
We've had at Shadow Light, Ewan McGregor, Jude Law, and Fassbender.
I'll give you Fassbender. You can keep the other two.
You're not having Jude Law.
No one said it'd be difficult to get it wrong.
yeah, this is good. At Pads Paws, Jack Nicholson, Christian Bale, and Michael Fassbender, and he said it's the hardest thing he's ever had to do, pick these three. couple more. We've at Charmaine Hannah _ Harrison Ford, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Johnny Depp. See, if Johnny Depp had stopped after about 8 films, he would be up there.
See, this is why De Niro or Pacino wouldn't make my list now, because they make so many shit films for paychecks these days that it's not sullied their legacy per se.
But when
I think of Pacino or DiCaprio, and Pacino or De Niro, and now Depp, I think of their shit films rather than their good ones.
No, I agree and I disagree. Ever since Jack and Jill, Pacino has sullied his legacy. He shat on everything he did in the past.
Yeah.
He is now a dreadful person.
Didn't he play himself in that?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Last couple. At Charlie Willis, Jack Nicholson, Tom Hanks, and Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And finally, Lee Teasdale at Lee Tino LCFC. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sly Stallone, and Harrison Ford. I grew up with Rocky, Star Wars, and Terminator, so they are easily my top three.
And you had a great childhood, my friend.
Yeah, that's sensational. Right. I want to hear the next topic, and it's Adam this
time. Oh, yeah.
It is.
What have you got?
So, we're coming up now to the year. And what did we do on our first episode?
Our
top five films, didn't we?
We did.
So I want to switch it round.
Okay.
And do our five worst films we've ever seen.
Nice.
Ever
I like
made.
This. Because I think we kind of talked about this, but we only mentioned one, didn't we?
Yeah.
So five out
of five. Top five films. Worst films you've ever seen.
Love it. Love it. I could do it now.
Coming up, The Room.
Just been to see Jurassic World, the first installment in the whole Jurassic Park franchise in many, many years. It's been, I believe, 23 years since the first one.
Whoa.
Which is mental.
That wouldn't work, no.
Which means I would have been about, I don't know, 10 or something when it came out, which is crazy business. This one is about, well, what do you think it's about? It's dinosaurs on an island, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? What do you want? Adam, thoughts?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it.
Shame. Mark, instant reaction.
Just a bit bored and underwhelmed. It was
ditto,
all right.
With you.
It was all right.
Yeah.
This is good, because I'm usually the one that's going, oh, it's amazing, I loved it, I want the Blu-ray.
I was fully expecting Adam and I to have the same opinion, and you to be like, it's a masterpiece would be the word you usually use.
No, I just, I went in with my expectations too high again. It, you know, it got the better of me. I was bored for 50 minutes, mm-hmm. literally like, this is really boring, Chris Pratt's annoying me, I'm not into this, oh God, come on. And then I did get quite a lot of action, I was like, this is all right, but I only got about 40 minutes of this is all right, and that shouldn't have happened.
Adam, quote, Chris Pratt is annoying.
Ridiculous.
Rebuttal.
Ridiculous. Chris Pratt is a genius, everything he does is fantastic, and you're wrong.
Brainwashed. But yeah, I'm sorry, in this film he was all right, he was okay, he reminded me of it.
Well, he's already gone up from boring.
He just...
Well, at the end of it, he'll be a genius.
No, it was like his audition to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I'm sort of halfway between the two of you. I think he was absolutely fine, I just think he was hampered by a piss-poor script. Mm-hmm. He was just... All of his lines were sort of exposition and just slogans of, you know, you need to evacuate the park. It's on the loose. You know, it was just shit like that. There was no depth or meaning to anything he said. And that wasn't his fault. It was the script. And the brilliant thing about Chris Pratt is that he always has sort of a bit of a smirk and a bit of a wink. He's an innately charming man. So you need to tailor a script to that. That is why Guardians of the Galaxy was perfect mm-hmm. for him. Whereas this didn't really have any humour. It didn't quite fit him. It was too serious. And he's too charming and too funny to play deadly mm-hmm. serious like that.
I didn't understand why they'd gone down such a serious route with it.
Mm.
Because by, as a whole thing, like Sam Neill in the original was a very charming, funny guy.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they decided to change it up and make it more serious this time around.
And Jeff Goldblum as well. Yeah. Same. Charming, funny guy. But this one they tried to be too morose, I thought. I didn't really get it.
I didn't. We you normally, you know, talk a lot more about the characters, but the first thing I need to say was... The kids were really annoying me. And, like, the little boy with the longish hair that was like a mop on his head.
child actors and bad haircuts. But what's that
but
about?
it was a case of
their mums.
I didn't warm to them at all. And in the first one, you're like, these kids are all right. You know, this is pretty cool. And you feel for them. I was wanting the dinosaurs to eat them. They were really annoying me. When he's sitting there crying, when he heard about his mum and dad breaking up, and he's sitting there with his tears, and his brother's like, come on, at least we get two presents. We get two this, we do that. And I'm like, okay, that's a bit heartless, but just sitting there crying his eyes out, like, stop being such a wuss. Just sort it out, mate. You're at Jurassic World. I'd have given anything to go to that park.
And do you know what pissed me off about that scene as well? Later on in the episode, we're going to be rewatching The Room, and I've no doubt we're going to talk about plots that go nowhere, that just disappear without any warning. Same thing in that film. There was that scene, there's a scene right at the start when the kids are heading off to Jurassic World, and the parents are like, oh, it's supposed to be our final breakfast. And you think, oh, what's that mean then? Are they getting divorced? Then there's a scene where the kid's crying, asking his brother, are our parents getting divorced? And that's literally it. There's no resolution to that. We never find out whether they do or not. Why was it relevant?
There's also a scene where they're with their lawyers.
Oh, yeah, you see some lawyers in the background. You hear the kid mention that he's seen letters from lawyers arrive, but it's never resolved. So if at no point we find out, you know, even if at the end of it, the parents would have gone, oh, because of the ordeal you've been through, we've decided to stay together. It would be a bullshit resolution, but it would be a resolution. There was nothing. So why have that divorce subplot anyway, if it doesn't come to anything?
Yeah. That's actually, I've not thought about that.
I haven't until just then.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Perhaps Tommy Wiseau's been involved in the script writing. It's like, you know, I'm not happy. Oh, hi, Mark. But no, I don't know. So, Adam, you liked it. Tell us what was so good about it.
I think it's a bit... I said I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, you did like Ooh. It. Come on.
I said I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like is not the same thing.
Okay, come on. Let's see.
A semantic debate. Just tell us what you liked.
Well, I just really enjoyed aspects of the film. It was... I went in with very low expectations.
Mm.
I was not... Mark is a huge Jurassic Park fan, and let's face facts, he was never going to be happy with this.
I don't know. I take your point, because it was never going to match up to the original, but I honestly thought he was going to come out like a cheerleader, you know, his pom-poms in the air.
You said you wouldn't talk about that weekend.
But no, let's talk about the last bit with the Rex.
Yeah, okay, so massive spoiler alert. The Indominus Rex is a dinosaur that they've created, which we'll come to in a minute because that pissed me off royally. But they've genetically modified a dinosaur called Indominus Rex. And at the end, what happens, Adam?
The T-Rex gets loose.
Yeah.
And attacks the Indominus. And there's a fight between two Rexes. I mean, what more do you want? It's like Godzilla up in this bitch.
I think the Godzilla did it better. I think that fight lasted about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And then... Do you want to spoil how it ends?
Yeah, fuck them.
The dinosaur that's in the water, what's that called?
I don't know.
That comes out and saves at the last minute. This massive, huge, aquatic, whatever it is, jumps out and grabs one of them, pulls it into the water. And I think you're all supposed to be fist bumping the air like, yes! And I just didn't get that. No. It wasn't portrayed or done in the way to get me off my seat like the first film where you're like, yeah! I was just like, meh, all right, cool.
And the thing that pissed me off about the whole T-Rex thing is, I get it, it's like a throwback. T-Rex was the original bad guy. Now you've got the Indominus Rex, so they wanted to have that link back to the original. But in this, you know, in the turnaround of this is that the T-Rex is the saviour. My issue with it is this. The Indominus Rex is running amok around the park, killing people with impunity. So they need to bring him down. They release the T-Rex to do it. The T-Rex kills his ass along with that, you know, the water-based dinosaur. And then they just fuck off, forgetting that the T-Rex is now rampaging around the island. So what are they going to do with him? He's fine. Oh, you can trust him. He's fine, T-Rex.
He's all right. He's been
around
years.
A while. You know what I mean? He's calmed down. Yeah, he's one of the neighbours now. He's fine.
But they've already evacuated the island.
Yeah, but you don't... That's left open, isn't it? That's the whole... He's left there, and you know what's going to happen now. We're going to get Jurassic World 2.
Yeah.
The Lost World.
Yeah. But we are. That's why they've done That's exactly it.
T-Rex swims to New York.
And I don't know how they could justify a sequel to this, because, you know, they've really tried to play on this... the justification will be the bunts, you know. But in terms of... from plot perspective, there are bits in this where they've mentioned that in-world, the original Jurassic Park on Isla Nublar was a failure. It didn't succeed. You know, people died, yada, yada, yada. But we're succeeding now. We've got the best structural engineers in the world, blah, 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 blah. It fails again. People die again. So how could you build a fictional film around a theme park that has failed twice and people have died twice? How can they justify rebuilding this? Even in Hollywood, how can they justify a plot line like that? Your bullshit meter's going beep, 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 beep.
I know, I'm sitting here, I can't even think of it.
Yeah.
Genetic engineering.
I don't know.
So come annoying. On, man, you mentioned a minute ago the Indominus Rex
yeah.
really pissed you off.
Yeah.
Now, I fully understand where you're going to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if our listeners do. So go.
The thing that pissed me off the most, and if this is what you're thinking of, for me, there are certain watershed moments in films. They're what I call the "that's it for me" moment in a film. I know it means I'm out. I'm done. I'm out. So Interstellar, the example of that in Interstellar was when Anne Hathaway said that science is as powerful as love, or love is as powerful as science. That's it for me. I'm out. I'm done with that film. Can't concentrate. For me, the watershed, that's it for me moment in this was that it turns out the Indominus Rex was a cross between a T-Rex and a Velociraptor. And that's why the Velociraptors wouldn't attack it. I was like, that's it for me. See that? And my brain just disengaged for the last half an hour of that film because so I stopped giving a shit.
Fish strands that they put in there, that was fine.
I forgot about that. There's some cuttlefish in there, which yeah. makes it be able to avoid heat sensors.
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know. They put some sort of frog bullshit made it camouflaged. It's like for fuck.
That was all fine.
No, that was equally bollocks. That had already annoyed me. That had built up to the watershed. That's it for me moment.
Final nail going in. Exactly. Here it comes, and then that's exactly. it.
Yeah,
you're done.
Fucking. But do you know what I think the biggest crime of this film is by far and away? The lack of any thrill or terror or scares of any kind. Nothing, nothing in this film matched up to the Velociraptors in the kitchen in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Nothing, nothing in this film matched up to the water just shaking the water, yeah. in the footsteps of the T-Rex. There was nothing like that.
One of the biggest problems Shame. This film has is its predecessor.
Because the bar was too high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is,
if this had been the first film in a franchise, you'd be thinking, that was all right.
Yeah, I probably have dug it if nothing like this had come before. Yeah.
The problem is, we're going to get lots and lots of kids now that haven't gone and had the chance to see the original, whose parents are, let's go and take them to see this Jurassic World. It's supposed to be really good. And they're going to be like, this is the best film ever made.
I mean, I'm coming from a perspective in which I actually enjoyed the film, but I can take your arguments on board here because we reviewed Sin City on, I think, our second episode, yeah. Sin City 2.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our key points of that film was, it's been done.
Yeah. What new are they bringing to the table? And the answer was nothing in nothing. That, for that film. And I think that's very, very similar with this.
Chris Pratt, that's all they brought to it.
Yeah, and even he, again, I think he was hampered by a shit script.
It's a place that I'd like to go. That's the one thing. I was thinking, this looks really cool place to visit. It did, you know, some of the rides look really cool in the way it was done. And what's the flying dinosaurs called?
Pterodactyls.
They looked cool. I love that scene. Yeah. And when they first started invading the park and they just randomly hacking away at kids and people, that was quite dark. That was quite good.
That was the best scene in the film for me, the pterodactyl attack.
And that was about 6 minutes of the film. Mm. So considering that film was 2 hours and 6 minutes.
I guess that's the thrill. That's the suspense. It's where, because there are points where this Indominus Rex, there's a moment where these army-trained people are out to try and capture it.
Yeah.
And you know they're not going to, because it's about 10 minutes into the film. So that'd be one hell of a short film.
Yeah.
Eyes caught, done, gone, over. So you know they're going to get absolutely crushed by this thing. Like that. It happens like that. And then after that, the only people left hunting it down are a couple more military guys. Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to die.
No, they're your leads.
You already know they're not going to die.
Yeah.
So, the kids aren't going to die.
Shame.
So, where was the drama?
So, where was the thrill?
Yeah, exactly.
With Jurassic Park, the Velociraptors in the kitchen, you generally feared for those children.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas at no point did I think the little two divs in this film were in any danger. At any point.
One of the things I do want to mention.
Yeah.
One of my favourite bits of the film, Jake Johnson.
Yeah, he's great in everything. Great in New Girl, great in Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah. Thought he was absolutely ace in this.
Yeah.
The smaller, and this was one of my other points I wanted to make, lack of supporting characters.
Mm. There were very few.
In Jurassic Park, there were so many other different characters like Samuel L. Jackson, who offered so much. I can't remember who played him, the British Hunter guy.
Yeah.
Offered a different point. There wasn't really anything like that in this one.
Was it the British Hunter who says, clever girl?
Yeah. He offers something different, and it's an interesting character to have on board.
Mm.
There was only really four characters, and two of them were kids.
Yeah, I think they let themselves down with the supporting characters. Jake Johnson was great, but he only had three or four scenes. Mm-hmm. Vincent D'Onofrio, who we love from Daredevil, he's brilliant, but again, not in it enough to really make an impression. Irfan Khan, who plays the owner of the park, sort of Attenborough's replacement, again, was very good, but not in it enough, and then dies. They gave short shrift to the main characters, mm-hmm. or to the supporting characters and to the main characters, in fact. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was. I like the few nods they gave to Jurassic Park.
Mm. They found the visitor center. That was cool.
And he had the T-shirt on. He's like, "Why are you wearing that?" And it's like, you know, they've got this off eBay. It's a classic from the original. That was like, I've been looking for that T-shirt myself. You know, that was cool. I like the little nods, but do you know what? And this is like trying to pass the blame off and get him like a get out of jail card for Jurassic World. But I had seen that whole film in the trailer, and there was nothing else that I hadn't seen. So I'd seen
I'd literally seen the
coming out of the water, getting that big fish. That would have been amazing to see that for the first time, but I'd seen it on the trailer.
Yeah.
We've seen the
pterodactyls coming out of their dome we'd seen in the trailer.
Yeah, we'd seen them on the motorbike chasing through the woods, so it looked like they're on his side.
Yeah.
We had seen everything.
Adam's right, literally it's only the Rex v. Rex that isn't in the trailer, which is the last 5 minutes of the film. That's it.
Trailers are just killing it.
Yeah.
It's annoying me.
Every film now has four trailers.
That's the problem. Yeah. There'll be a teaser trailer, then trailer one, then trailer two, and then the third trailer a few weeks before the first.
And a TV spot.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone will have slightly new footage.
We get a teaser for a teaser.
Yeah. You'll get a 10-second teaser for a 30-second teaser.
Oh, my God.
For a one-minute trailer.
Stop.
Exactly. Hollywood, stop.
When we do Mac and Me 2,
when?
You're going to get one trailer, and that's it, and it'll be a two-minute...
Whatever that, you're getting a teaser.
That's it. You get one teaser. You don't even get to see what Mac's looking like now in his older age. That's it. You just bam.
All you see is the little fella in his wheelchair.
Yeah, just the wheel. I love it that we're talking about this though, not Jurassic World. But no, back to Jurassic World, sorry.
So the one thing that I wanted to talk about is I've read quite a lot of the pre-release reviews, and one of the things that is mentioned a lot is they say that the portrayal of the female character, Bryce Dallas Howard's character, is sexist. Ugh. Now, I think that's bollocks.
Yep.
I don't think it's remotely sexist. However, what I would say is it is very retrograde. It's a very old-school damsel-in-distress type role where she's the woman who barely knows what she's doing. She doesn't care about her nephews until she has to. She's got the brave, handsome man who looks after her and saves her and, you know, all is well. So it's not sexism, but it is sort of, it's a bit old school,
wearing
a bit old
heels.
She's
the
wearing
dress,
her heels throughout the whole fucking film. She's running through jungle and this, that, and the other in heels, running at full pace. Like, come on, love, put some flats on. It wasn't quite right for me. It was a bit too old. To call it sexist is bullshit, and it's just liberal media giving it this as usual, but it was a bit retrograde.
And the thing that got me about that is even her nephews were like, oh no, we want to stay with him, not you.
Yeah, and she would. What use was she?
Dreadful.
But, yeah, I think sexism is a bit of a leap.
Yeah.
They're jumping on the Mad Max thing there. That's the problem as well. We have just seen Mad Max, which was 2 hours of decent action. So that's also been a bit like, what, you're making me wait 40 minutes for some decent action? Yeah. I got it last time, but after two.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Nice.
And you are right what you say, that the first sort of 50 minutes, if not longer, maybe hour and a half, because it's a 2 hour, 10 minute film, maybe first hour and a half. Hour and a half is boring.
Yeah.
All the action, from the pterodactyl attack onwards, the action is quite good, but that is literally maybe the last half an hour.
Yeah.
The first hour and a half is tedious.
Do you know what the annoying thing is, right? I know that the next couple of days will be full of friends of mine on Facebook and Twitter going, absolutely love this movie, incredible. Mm. I've heard it's already going to break records at the box office. It's took over 120 million in this weekend. It's going to do absolutely wonders and everyone's going to love it.
Yeah.
But just take a step back and think about what you've just seen and don't just go, oh, it's amazing, because it's not amazing. And go and watch Jurassic Park, which is over 20 years ago, and then watch it and then go, actually, yeah, because it was not anywhere near as good as it should have been. I know it's hard because I went in there, one of the biggest fans of Jurassic Park. So it was like you said, Adam, it's never going to please me. But it didn't even... You expected me to come out of the cinema going, that was cool.
Yeah.
And I don't have any intention to watch it again for a while.
No, I was... You know, I thought the exact same thing in the cinema. I was thinking to myself that Jurassic Park is 22 years old, whatever I said. I've probably watched it at least once a year, every year since then. And I will continue to do so. I cannot imagine rewatching this. I cannot imagine why I would want to what you know, if it was on telly and I was flicking on a, you know, rainy Sunday afternoon, I might watch it. But otherwise, I'm never going to choose to.
No.
There was nothing in it for me. Another thing, this is minor. I don't think there were enough dinosaurs, as in enough types of dinosaurs.
No.
You see the Indominus, you see the Velociraptor, you see T-Rex, you see the Pterodactyls, you see a couple of others blurrily in the background.
That's it.
Where was the Diplodocus? Where was the Stegosaurus? Do you know
what
I mean?
Didn't the Diplodocus die in the field?
I don't know.
There's probably one. He looked terrible as well. He looked like a
testy.
He did. He looked like a testy with like a little...
We saw those big...
There were some, but they weren't enough.
He looked like a pepperoni. That's what his neck... He did, didn't he? Yeah. He did. It looked like it was slightly gone
with
off.
With a testy for a head.
Yeah. Go on our Instagram. We're going to get someone's testicle and put a pepperoni against it to show you what it looks like.
Someone's in inverted commas.
Look at the strawberry blonde hair attached. But yeah, away from testes, I was let down. It's a shame.
Shame.
I thought to myself with Avengers that if I go back and watch it, Avengers 2, I'll enjoy it more. I'm not going to give this another chance. It was all right. I was entertained in the cinema. It was all right. But my God,
it's with you slowly getting better.
I think he's been consistent. Another thing I would say, and it might be getting passé to say this now, but the 3D, what was the point?
No, there's no point.
Did nothing for me,
man. People are like, you wait to see this in 3D. Bullshit.
Yeah, it was just another £2 out of my pocket for the 3D. It wasn't worth it.
I agree with that. Well, I just want people to stop comparing it to Jurassic Park.
You're never going to get that, man. It's never going to happen. You're fighting a losing battle.
Sorry, dude. I don't know how you're going to change that either.
Yeah.
Just go around to every person individually and just say, oi. Yeah. Stop it.
We have a good reach on this.
Yeah.
Hopefully people will take heed from this review.
Yes.
Stop comparing it to Jurassic Park.
Forget everything you've ever known about Jurassic Park.
One good thing I will say is it's way better than The Lost World and Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah.
But then so is the diarrhea I had a few weeks ago. You know. But it's true, isn't it? Anything was better then, but it is better.
Well, the raptors did talk again.
Yeah.
Oh, they did sort of cheap with the Indominus, didn't they?
Yeah. Shame. Wasn't pleased about that.
No.
I didn't like it how they had them all locked up as well with their noses. Like, how would you get them that still and then be able to free them, like, hold them, and there's different people can touch them and they're all right. Shut up.
Yeah.
Having names for them as well.
And they were fickle little fuckers as well, because one minute they're Chris Pratt's mates, then they were Indominus's mates, and then they went, we're back to Pratt again.
Yeah.
Make your mind up, lads. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I couldn't trust. I would never lend them money or anything. I wouldn't trust them.
No, definitely not.
Anything else you want to say?
I'm all right.
Oh, it's round the bugger up.
Wow, I'm not scoring this first.
I'm going first. It's 5. Distinctly average, so 5.
Adam's going to go higher, I think.
I'm going to go 7.
Fair enough, Mark.
6.
So it's a 6 overall. Jurassic World, 6 out of 10.
Chaps, I've got some cool prizes to give away.
Sweet.
Really cool prizes.
As always.
You know, right now, I would love a Jurassic World t-shirt.
Yeah.
What else would be really good with a t-shirt?
Cap.
Yep. And every man always needs a...
toolkit.
Yeah. Imagine getting all three of those in one. Well, we've done it.
You're kidding.
No, our good friends at Universal, cheers Universal, have sorted us out with some caps, some t-shirts, and some very cool Jurassic World toolkits. Or you can take the tools out and use them as a bag. So we're going to give them away.
Cool.
We're going
to come with tools?
You'll have to win one to find out. So you're going to be able to enter this competition on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or drop us an email. To win this, Ben, tell us what question, what should we set?
How about this? Who directed the original film in the Jurassic franchise? So who directed Jurassic Park?
That's a good question. I was going to go a bit more difficult with what is the director Colin Trevorrow's first name?
But what's his second name? Because he doesn't pronounce it.
Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah, okay. So that's a good question. Who directed Jurassic Park? Mm. And what should we announce it next time?
Yeah, 2 weeks' time.
Brilliant. While we're here, should we announce the winner of the last competition?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Hang on, then.
Yeah, so the guys at Headshot Clothing, we love them. They're beautiful people.
We bloody love them.
We bloody love them, guys.
They've been good enough to give us their new design of Stephen King's It t-shirt. with Pennywise on, the clown. It's a fantastic original. Well, it's just spectacular.
Oh, it's great.
Is it up on our Instagram?
It is. And it's also on Facebook and Twitter.
Excellent.
We put the question out there, basically, who wrote it? And I did say a second ago, it was Stephen King. So the winner of this is Steve King.
What?
I know.
You think it himself?
So I went on Facebook and basically checked this person out, and it's legit. His name is Steve King. He's English, and he's legit, and he's real, and it isn't Stephen King, even though he could probably get his own T-shirt if he wanted. So it's Steve King. He's legit. He's real. You look at me like I'm a stalker.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming you've done a bit of digging here. You've been on his LinkedIn. Yeah,
he is legit. So well done. We'll get that T-shirt out to you. And if you didn't win, go and buy one because it's money well spent.
Yeah, it is. I'd say that. There's got straight. Some really cool designs on there as well.
And stay tuned next week for another competition. I'm not going to say what it is, but, you know.
So we do too much.
We do.
We give too much.
We give too much and we don't take enough.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but we should take some reviews. If you like our podcast, you should review us.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that. On, we'll do that.
Yeah, pop onto iTunes, give us a little review.
And we'll give you...
Just nothing.
A part
just...
in Mac and Me Too.
The best review gets a part in Mac and Me Too.
Nice.
I like it.
Not a new segment anymore, but Skip Back in Time. We've been doing it for a few episodes now, and we're on 2008 now. So what was your favourite film of 2008, Mark?
I think this will surprise you both.
Oh, yeah.
Wall-E.
Really?
Yep.
Is it Wall-E or is it Wall-E?
Wall-E.
I always heard it as Wall-E.
It's the most British thing ever, Wall-E.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called, Wall-E is my favourite film of that year.
Never seen it.
Wall-E.
It's one of the best animations that Disney and Pixar have done. It is incredible. If you think Monsters, Inc., we always talk about how good the detail is on that. You wait till you see Wall-E and the reflections and everything and the way the dust moves and everything. It's mesmerising. But it's got a nice little reason why this film. It was the first ever film that me and my wife went to see at the cinema together.
Aww.
So it's quite a nice little reason.
Yeah. But kids, Mark?
And we never went to see another film after that. So that was the last film I went to see with her. That's a nice little reason, I thought.
You've never been to the cinema with her since?
No. She refuses to go.
What?
Yeah, no.
So you and your missus went to the cinema together 7 years ago. One. Yeah. First time.
Yeah.
And you've not been together.
No. What did like you do any to her? Stuff?
Did you do the popcorn trick?
No.
Cut a little hole in the bottom. You know what I'm talking about.
That was to her mum. That's why she won't go, because it always memorises her that.
Do you remember a few episodes ago when we were asked what cinema experience would we revisit and Mark told us something a bit too personal?
Oh, him getting wanked off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he tried that on with her and now she won't go to cinema with him again?
Probably.
Anyway, back to Wall-E. It's a great film. I really thought you'd seen that, Ben. I'm quite surprised.
I don't know. I don't like the look of it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, there's actually no dialogue pretty much in it for the first 20, 30 minutes.
It's a really, really good film. I can't believe you've not seen it.
No.
And this is another look of Ben. It's exactly the same look when I picked 500 Days of Summer. It's like a, you're scum. Your opinion means nothing more.
No, because I've seen 500 Days of Summer and I thought it was garbage. I've not seen Wall-E, so I can't judge. My brother likes it. He's 10.
There you go. I think like a 10-year-old.
We knew that.
You date 10-year-olds.
Go on then. Well then, Ben. Go on and prove that, you know, there's something way better.
Well, it's way better to me, because you know how much I love Will Ferrell.
Oh, God.
It's Step Brothers. Step Brothers is one of the funniest fucking films I have ever seen. If you've not seen Step Brothers, go out, rent it, download it, steal it, do what you need to do, watch it. It's hilarious. Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, directed and written by Ferrell and Adam McKay. Adam McKay and Will Ferrell have sort of a history of doing great movies. They did Anchorman together. They did The Other Guys. They did Talladega Nights. Their whole set of films that they've done between the two of them I just think are great. And Step Brothers is very close behind Anchorman as being my favourite comedy film.
Do you know what?
Mm.
I've not seen it.
Shame.
I know.
It is very good. Very funny.
Yeah, my 10-year-old brother loves it. But,
brilliant.
It's that one that's like, I'll get round to seeing.
Yeah.
But I will go and do that in the next couple of weeks, because I know that a lot of people have said to me it's one of the funniest films. And when we come to the social media stuff, everyone was saying that film. Yeah. So it's not just you.
See, one of your favourite phrases is beer and pizza movie. This is the fucking definition, man. We'll get some beers in, we'll get some pizzas in, and we'll watch Step Brothers. All and right. You'll laugh your shaft off.
My house. Let's do this. Laughter my shaft off.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a really difficult year. I mean, you've got things like Kung Fu Panda, Burn After Reading, Get Smart, Bedtime Stories. You know, these are some of the...
Bedtime Stories, Adam Sandler and Russell Brand. Christ.
These are some of the greatest films ever known. But it had to be a superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be this one, The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I can't even be asked to listen to him talk about it. I know,
it's too often.
This is what I want to say. As soon as you start talking, skip to the end, but no, go for it, Adam.
Can we not just get a section of audio from an old episode where he's talking about it and just drop it in so we don't actually have to listen to him talk right now?
Yeah, fine by me.
Do that?
Don't worry, 1982, when I talk about The Thing, you can have a go at me.
No, fine by me, just get the old audio, put it in.
Tell me why. How many times did you see this? But it was 10, wasn't
10.
It? 10. Fucking hell, that's insane. You spent over £100 at the cinema.
But the reason I prefaced this whole bit with that joke about all the other films that were out that year is because nothing else was good to see. So now it looks less bad that I went to see it 10 times at the cinema. Yeah. It was
so
that.
So you don't think it was a good year?
I don't think it was a good year, no. I remember we went to, I think on around time number 7, I think I went to the cinema. And we're like, we can't watch it again. What should we watch? And my friend went, we could watch The Mummy 3. So we walked into that. 10 minutes late into it. Mm. Missed the start. I imagine it didn't make sense because of that. Sure, it's all explained at the start. Left the cinema after finishing it. Awful. Decided to go back in and watch The Dark Knight.
Brilliant. Did you then go and pay, or did you just sneak in?
I couldn't comment. Of course we paid.
Well, if you did, which you definitely didn't, that means you pay for two films. How annoying is that?
Orange Wednesdays. Technically only paid for one.
Meerkat movies, isn't it? No?
Yeah.
We went to Twitter, and this might be when you think to yourself, oh, actually, there was some good films out actually that year. You forgot about. Good one here. Craig Jarrett, at Craig underscore Jarrett. Juno.
Yeah, really good film. Yeah.
It's not. I didn't know if you'd like that or not, but yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And Cena's been himself again, isn't he?
Cena. Michael Cena.
I've got literally through 35 minutes about saying the wrong name.
Michael Sarah, not John Cena. Yeah,
he was himself to the max.
It would have been a very different film, wouldn't it? If he knocked her up.
That's what we're doing after Mac and Me too. At Mick underscore 242, Quantum of Solace.
No.
Don't agree.
See, I like the Daniel Craig Bonds, but that's the weakest one.
By far.
Mm-hmm.
At Kaylee Hadley, got to be Step Brothers because I genuinely have tears of laughter every time. Got to love Will Ferrell.
Hello, Miss Lady. Nothing to you because you've not seen the film, but she'll get it.
She'd get it or she'll get it? Degrading.
Continue.
Tethered the movie at Tethered 1. Oh my God. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Pure masterpiece. He's taking the piss.
Clearly.
Good on you. I'm not going to talk about that. That's in the same realms as Poltergeist remake. Maggie at... Margie at Margie Upchurch. Wow. Two of the choices come from me. Really difficult, but Wanted. And no. Wall-E. Good on her.
No. Wanted was awful.
Everyone's opinion is... You know.
Shower of Shite.
It wasn't a good film at all.
Stick that on the DVD cover.
Yeah.
Warren John Hughes, big listener of the podcast. This was a good one for you. Zach and Miri.
That's a shit film.
He put only joking just to piss Ben off. The Wrestler.
Good lad. I approve of the joke and I approve of the movie choice. Well done, Warren John Hughes.
Oh, I'm genuinely going to say it now. Can I swap and have The Wrestler?
No, you've made your bed.
Wrestlers always.
Did you not do any research, Mark?
Always, but now, you know, when you just hear like Daniel Day-Lewis a minute ago, The Wrestler's so good.
Mickey Rourke's unreal in that
Running
film.
Running the Ram Roberts.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So that's everyone from social media. Next week, 2007.
Now that is a good year.
I'll tell you what, this is flying. It is weird. When you just started this and said it's 2008 already, it is insane.
Yeah.
Considering this feels like just a brand new feature. We've already got through 7 years.
Yeah, it's mental.
And if you've not listened, if you've not listened to all of our previous podcasts, why the hell not? What's wrong with you? But if you've not, you can go and check out our previous skip back in time choices over on skiptothend.co.uk.
I love those little pictures as well.
Yeah,
and it makes me think, why did I pick that, you idiot, Mark? But never mind.
That time once again, it's the rewatch. This time round, a cult classic, The Room, written by, directed by, produced by, also executive produced by. I don't know why you needed to be both the producer and the executive producer, and also starring Tommy Wiseau. I don't know where the, I don't know where to begin. I do know where to begin. When I started watching this film, the first thing that struck me was the Wiseau Films logo. He started his own production company as well, you know, as you do. The little crappy Atari level graphics of Wiseau Films in a little globe. I was like, I'm in for a treat here when I saw that. Mark, tell me your first thoughts.
Revolting. Is that how I want to sum up this film? It physically made me feel sick.
Adam?
Well, I've seen it before.
Oh, shame.
And I hate you. Just, I mean, Christ on a bike. Why? There are some films in your life you have to see more than once.
Yeah.
This is not one of them.
You're quite right. It just defies all logic and sense.
Yep.
And I don't understand.
One of my favourite bits is the, oh, so I got the test results back. I've got breast cancer.
Yeah.
Never mentions it again.
No. She says it to her daughter. Right, let's just rewind. Yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll rewind. So, this god-awful, ridiculous film, anyway, written and everything, blah, 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 by Tommy Wiseau, also starring him. It's about, basically, a love triangle. Tommy plays Johnny. He's going out with a girl whose name, I think, is Lisa. Is that right?
Yeah,
Lisa.
Yeah.
And then she ends up shagging his best mate called Mark.
Yep.
That's the whole thing.
That's why my parents call me Mark.
Is it? Good for them. It's amazing that they named you after a film that was out 20 years after your birth.
They made the screenplay, got hold of it.
So that's it. Anyway, and Lisa is the character. Lisa's the thing you just mentioned there. Lisa's with her mother. Her mother, just in the middle of a conversation, drops in, "I have breast cancer." Lisa at no point reacts to this.
Nope.
Doesn't even offer any sympathies or say, "What? What's going on?" She just ploughs on with her bullshit. And then it's never mentioned again.
It's one of those films where I know we're all saying you've got no massive rush to watch it again, but I had to keep on watching. It's like going past a road accident. You have to look, and it's gross. But I had to. There's no way I would not. I know I have to for this podcast, but I wouldn't have turned it off. I needed to see what was going to happen, and he made me feel that sick. I just wanted to keep seeing it. It's weird. It's a weird. I don't know what was wrong with me, but listening to the way when he was having sex.
Oh God!
And the kissing scene—it's so full on, and it's absolutely vile. There was no budget in this film. We know that. And it
six million the budget.
It cost more than Clerks. But the kissing itself was so intense. You could hear the lips connecting. He's gross. He makes me. He literally makes me feel sick.
Yeah.
And he's vile. He really is a vile. I don't know if he's got some sort of. Has he got an illness?
So, leave it there. Yeah. There are three sex scenes within the first 25 minutes.
Yep.
And I think they're about 7 or 8 minutes of the first 25 are three different sex scenes. There's Johnny shagging Lisa twice and Mark shagging Lisa once. It's like, why is this happening?
Yeah, it's vile. It's absolutely vile.
But going back to just random shit that happens apropos of nothing. So there's that bit where the mum says that she's got breast cancer, nothing happens. There's a bit where the two guys, where Johnny and Mark, are up on the rooftop, which has some of the worst CGI you'll ever see.
Yep.
It's like this awful green screen.
Well, they're not really up there?
No. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, that's where all the budget went, locations. And they're up there. And at this point, Johnny has been accused of hitting Lisa. Lisa, out of nowhere, has decided to claim that Johnny hit her, even though there's no bruises on her or anything. No one believes her anyway, but she's just saying it. So he's up on the roof talking to Mark, and then Mark starts telling a story about how, you know, that can get out of hand. And a girl that he knew got beaten up so badly she ended up in hospital. And Johnny responds by going, ha, 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 ha. What a crazy story. It's like, why are you laughing at this? He just told you this woman got beaten so badly. She had to go to hospital and he starts pissing himself. And apparently in real life, like the script supervisor and other people on set kept saying to Tommy Wiseau, you can't laugh at this. This isn't funny. This is not a funny story. And he was responsible. Well, I wrote it. So it's funny to me. Like, why would he laugh at that?
This whole film is Tommy Wiseau self-fellating.
Yeah, it is.
That's all it is. It's like you said, it's his excuse to kiss someone.
Yeah.
His excuse to make himself look like he's shagging this bird who wants to then cheat on him. And I don't understand.
He got to kiss a lot of breasts as well.
He did, yeah.
And he's shit at that. Brilliant. Horrible.
You're judging him on that.
Technique.
Yeah. What'd you give him out of 10 for breast kissing?
3.
3?
It's all lips. Horrible. Disgusting.
What else are you going to use to kiss?
He's not used any tongue or anything. It's absolutely disgusting. Those nipples will be flat. Horrible.
Brilliant.
Disgusting. Absolutely. Honestly, I wrote here because I like to bring notes. Made me want to throw up. Doesn't make me want to have sex ever again. And literally, the only thing I liked was the soundtrack, so I thought that'd be good to have sex to. Because it was good music.
It was a lot of smooth jams.
It was really smooth. His accent, where's he from?
No one knows.
No one ever knows.
No, he claims that he and his family are from Louisiana. He's definitely not American.
No.
He's claimed as well that he spent some time in France. Someone has managed to check up on him, and they think he was born in some sort of Eastern Bloc, you know, Soviet country in the 50s, but no one knows because he won't tell anyone.
He's been in prison.
You reckon?
He is a dodgy dealer. I'm telling you now. He is really...
This is bordering on slander.
Yeah.
He's not ever been in prison. He's a lovely guy. But no, he's literally... I've never seen anything like it. It wasn't even... Some people said it's that bad, it's good. It's not. It's that bad, it makes me want to kill myself.
Really?
It's absolutely disgusting.
I found myself laughing out loud a lot, though, because it's so inept and so bad. The thing I loved is anytime anyone walked in a room and Johnny, Tommy Wiseau's character, was in there, he'd always say, oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hi, Lisa. Every sentence, yeah. Every time he meets someone, oh, hi, Mark. Again, going back to the bit where he's worried about the fact that Lisa's accused him of slapping her around, he goes up to the roof on his own and he's all anguish. He's going, I did not hit her. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Oh, hi, Mark. And then he just changes because he sees Mark.
Was there a bit with someone's son that just walks in for a little scene and
then
he goes away and you never really find out if it's his son, but that's it. It's just that little scene.
Yeah.
And you never...
Because there's a bit where that same lad, he's not his son.
Denny.
He's a guy who lives in the building. He's only 18, but he looks after him. Johnny looks after him like a son. As you do. And there's a bit where Denny gets attacked by a drug dealer and the drug dealer holds a gun to his head and then everyone's having to go at Denny. Don't get involved with drug dealers. That storyline never comes back again. It was literally just one scene of Denny getting a gun.
I think it might be a spin-off. I think we're going to get it in a few years and find out all about Denny's backstory. Just that was there was a lot on that. Mark as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave the name Mark a bad name because he was dreadful. Like, cheating on his best mate, that's never nice.
Yeah.
But he was terrible at acting. And I don't know if he was literally like, I'm going to be that bad. I didn't know if it was meant to be that bad. I can't tell.
Yeah.
I was looking at his face thinking, is he really serious? Because he was so over the top, like you were saying, like, hello, doing a shitty accent. But he was also really terrible accent. I don't know where he's from, but he's never acted before. He'll never act again. But he was really shit.
I like the fact that we're now saying this person was worse than the other. They were all dreadful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know one of the funny things that I read? That character, Mark... When Tommy Wiseau wrote the script, he named that character after Matt Damon because he'd misheard Matt Damon's name. So he must have thought his name was Mark Damon.
Did you write the script?
Yeah, exactly myself. That's it.
Oh, dear God. Ben, I know what you're saying, where you watched it and you found yourself laughing out loud.
Yeah.
Trust me, second time round, you don't.
No.
I saw it the first time I saw it, I thought, Christ, this is awful, but I was laughing at it.
Yeah.
This time round, I hated you with every fibre of my being.
And you're right too. The script cracked me up. Not only the, oh, hi, Mark, oh, hi, Lisa, at the start of every scene, there were other sentences that were just used over and over. Anytime anyone spoke to Lisa, her default response was, I don't want to talk about it. She says, I don't want to talk about it, about 9 times.
Amazing.
I don't know if you noticed that. They keep going on about how Johnny and Lisa are engaged, but at no point do they ever use the word fiancé. They only use the term future wife or future husband, and it's repeated about a dozen times in the film. I think what it is because he's not native English. When he was writing the script, he couldn't spell fiancé, so he just wrote future wife.
He is me.
Hoping someone else had changed down the line.
And he, that the Tommy himself, his accent, you can see how much of the film has been overdubbed.
Yeah.
It's clearly not him speaking at the time, and a lot of it is out of sync as
well. I was about to say, the editing ain't great. I'm not going to lie. Production values, he ain't going to be going off and doing some sort of thing with Peter Jackson. I don't know what he's doing now. I think he goes to cinemas and plays on it and turns up like, ah, it was all a big joke. It's like, no, you fucking liar. You're an absolute moron.
Yeah, he was deadly serious about this.
Can we talk about the American football tuxedo scene?
Yeah.
I want to talk about the fight as well.
We'll come to the fight. But the American football tuxedo scene. Why are they wearing tuxedos?
I was reading up on this. And apparently everyone on set said Tommy Wiseau was just adamant that we did this scene.
Yeah.
Apparently that he would not explain to anyone how it fits into the narrative, what it means. He was adamant that we'd get this scene done over every other scene.
Yeah. Other scenes that actually made sense to the plot. Yeah. So there's a scene, so they're throwing an American football between, what, four of them, is it?
Yeah.
About 5 feet apart. I don't know why they're that close to one another, in tuxedos. They're never in the tuxedos again. And the character Mark, the tuxedo he's wearing is at least 12 sizes too big for him. It drowns him. It's clearly the only rental one they could get. I don't understand.
I'm still surprised it cost that many million. Would you say six?
6 million, the budget. And apparently he won't tell anyone where he raised the money from. But one of the rumours is that he raised money selling leather jackets abroad. Like import-export of leather goods.
Sergio Giorgini.
If you had $6 million...
Yeah.
Why would you make this film
and not just retire? I bet he's made loads off it because it's a cult film now and people are watching it all over the world as a bad film.
Yeah.
I bet he's doing really well.
Well, you know, he'll probably get 90% of the DVD sales. Yeah. Any cinema that shows it at these midnight cult screenings, he's going to have to get a fee for that.
I'm buying it on Blu-ray, Steelbook. Can we talk about the fight scene? Because that was the choreography there. I thought I was watching Avengers or something. It's
yeah,
so
definitely.
Well done.
This is the fight scene towards the end between Mark and
when
Johnny.
It actually all comes to you know, comes up to the surface that he's actually been unfaithful to his best mate.
Mm-hmm. I thought when I watched Daredevil for the first time, the TV series, that the choreography in these fight scenes was great. This is different gravy.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Ridiculous. One of the worst films I've ever seen.
This is, you know, boxing at its finest.
Oh,
you know,
my
this,
God.
It's just remarkable.
Well, I think we should talk about the ending, actually.
Let's come to that. Let's come to the ending. I want to save that.
Okay.
It's big. The ending's big.
Oh, the dramatic, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so we'll save that. The whole thing with Lisa being lovely to Johnny's face, but then talking shit about him to everyone behind his back and sleeping with his best mate. You can only think that Tommy Wiseau hates women. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've seen a more misogynistic film. He clearly hates women. And even if he doesn't hate all women, he clearly hates, in real life, one woman who broke his heart.
Yeah.
And that's why he probably called Lisa, and that's why he's written this film, to get back at her. It's obviously a very personal thing for
Tommy. Yeah, because even gives her mother cancer.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day,
she doesn't care.
You know, some people delete their number, block their number, go on Facebook, remove them. Yeah. He writes a £6 million film just to get back at her.
In all fairness, how great would you feel if you're that person who's made this film?
Well, you'd be watching it thinking, God, I'm glad I got out when I did. Dodge that bullet.
I just want to say now, and it's a little bit nasty, but he probably is one of the ugliest creatures I've ever seen. He is absolutely revolting, disgusting and repulsive. He really is, isn't he? Face, I mean, you've probably seen on Twitter this week the pictures going out reminding people to watch this film. Even the poster and the press shot, you know, decent camera, you know, lighting, he looks disgusting.
He
looks like, it looks like it hasn't printed out properly, like it's slightly bent, the picture.
Well, one of his eyes is half closed.
Yeah. What is he doing?
Do you know that picture, that was the official billboard photo for the film. And he had that billboard up on like Hollywood Boulevard or some shit, somewhere in Hollywood. And it cost $5,000 a month to have that up. And he left it up for 5 years.
Do you know what? I'm going to start selling leather jackets.
Is that where the budget went?
Skip to the end, leather jackets are coming soon. Because if he's making that much money, it's ridiculous. £5,000.
$5,000 a month, and he left it up for 5 years in Hollywood, that with his god-awful face on.
Why did he leave it up for 5 years?
I don't know.
Did he just forget? Was the money just coming out of his account? And he was like, I don't know what this is, but
I don't know where this 5K every month is
going. I will beat Titanic at the box office. It's just staying up until it does. I'm angry. I am.
Do you want to talk about the ending then?
I'm just out of energy now.
Let's get to the ending then before we all flag.
It's a big ending.
Go on, tell us what happens, Mark.
Well, it's that bad that the news gets to him. He's seen his best friend. He's seen his fiance or future wife, as
his
they call
future
it,
wife, yeah.
Come together, and it all comes out.
Quite
he's
literally.
Found out. It's horrendous. So he decides to take his own life with a gun. And I mean, it's quite bleak. And if you haven't watched the film, you know, please still stick with us and go and watch it to see this scene.
After trashing everything first, right?
Oh, the
destruction.
The yeah.
But the gun goes in. It's pretty well filmed, actually. It's quite intense. You think, is he going to do it? Is he not? Then suddenly, poof, and he's literally falls back for some reason into a nice sort of like mattress, and it's on the floor, but there's already a mattress all laid out and a pillow. Lands quite nicely, actually, quite nice. And then they find him.
Yeah.
His blood looks pretty good.
Mm.
That's where probably the $6 million's gone, because that does look really good. And it just pans out with him kind of looking over him as if to say, shame.
Yeah. Do you know what I love in that bit is when Lisa and Mark come up to find him with the gun in his hand, big gaping hole in his head, and Mark says, wake up, Johnny. Just shut his fucking head off. He's not waking up, boy.
I'm surprised he didn't get up and go, hello, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That is a weird ending, so I expected something else to happen. So it pans out, you get this real cheesy porn music on the piano, and then you see them kind of embrace again. He puts his arm around her, oh, don't worry, we'll be okay. I think they might kiss. And you hear the sirens coming to kind of get him. Now, A, if you didn't notice this, no one called for them, so how did they know? And if you really listen closely, this is how stupid I am, I heard a fire engine. If you listen to the actual siren, it's a fire engine, not an ambulance or police. So maybe they're coming to rescue a cat, and, you know, it's good timing, because for some reason they came without just hearing a bang.
Why was that little prick Denny there again as well? Because Lisa and Mark came up to see what Johnny had been up to, and then that little fucker Denny comes up having a look again. At the very at the start of the film, during the first sex scene, Lisa and Johnny go up to the bedroom to get it on, and then Denny jumps on the bed with them, and they're like, Denny, what are you up to? And he went, I just like to watch you guys.
Yeah.
And they just brush it off like, oh, Denny. What?
We're going to find Denny and get him on this podcast.
He's dead. He's definitely OD'd.
Dead Denny.
Jesus Christ.
Ratings, yes, we hate this film, because I don't have anything else to say about it. I do want to watch it again, because Adam said it's even worse, so I might put myself through
it
again.
Where did they get the gun from?
See, now, the drug dealer, I think they got it. So maybe that's why that whole that scene with the drug dealer and Denny exists, but at no point is it obvious that he's pocketed the gun.
Yeah.
So maybe we're reading too much into it. Maybe we're crediting him with more storytelling prowess than he has, I don't know.
I have a weird feeling, I'm going to say it now. Episode 22, I'm saying it out there. For some reason, I have a feeling we're going to bump into this guy and get him on a podcast. I really do. I'm serious. He might be at some con or some cinema that we don't... I just have a feeling there'll be a day that us three are with him.
Well, you know, as you say, they do these sort of midnight cult showings, and they don't just do them in the US, they do them in the UK as well now. If there is one near to us, we've got to go.
Yeah.
Because they're meant to be hilarious, because people get really involved. Like when people go to the Rocky Horror Show and dress up in the costume, they do the same for this. People come dressed as Mark, come dressed as Johnny in the big greasy black
wig. I'm going to go as Denny.
Comes a little prick Denny. People bring spoons, because I didn't know if you noticed, but in the background, all the like photographs in their apartment just had pictures of spoons in for no apparent reason. So people bring spoons to these showings. People bring American footballs. They wear tuxedos.
If we do it, we'll just have to bring along a fourth guy and all go in tuxedos.
Definitely.
I'm up for that.
Definitely. Well, we'll get Denny. Denny could be our fourth. If he's alive. He's not.
Ratings, then. Ben, it's your choice. You go for it.
Shit. I mean, it's one of the worst fucking films I've ever seen. It's one of the worst fucking films ever made. It is quite rightly known as the Citizen Kane of bad films. That said, it made me chuckle. So for the laughs it gave me, I'm giving it 2 out of 10.
Oh, that's quite good. I thought you were going to be like 5 or 6.
No. No.
Adam.
Bagel.
It's getting a bagel, is it? Yeah.
Really?
Duck egg.
That's awful. I'm going 5.
Christ!
I am. I liked it. There's bits about it. I hated it, but there's something about it.
Can't you pick a number that's easy to divide by 3? Because now we're at 7.
What?
Give it 6.
Do you want to go 6 then, yeah? Does that help?
No, give it 4.
Okay, I'll give it 4.
Because what? 6 divided by 3 is 2.
Okay.
No,
it's a 3. Let's call it a 3. Because I'm going to give it a 4, you give it a 2, bang in the middle. Adam brings it down a little bit.
Yeah, no, if you give it a 4, I give it a 2, Adam gives it a non.
Yeah.
It's 2 overall.
All right then, that's fine. Yeah. Well done, dude. That's probably the best. You can stick that on your future Blu-ray steelbook, because no one else has given you that high rating. Yeah. 2 out of 10 from us.
Actually, I don't think they have.
Probably, if this was on Rotten Tomatoes, that would probably be the highest rating it's got.
Mm. Awesome.
Almost as bad as that FIFA film that's just come out.
Christ. Next week's rewatch.
It's been really nice with The Room, guys, because a few of the people on social media have joined in with us and watched the movie for the first time.
That. Interactivity, it's good.
It's what we're trying to do, bring people to us. I love it.
I think really we're just pushing them away if we're making them watch stuff like this.
Sorry, guys. So I've got some of the reactions I wanted to share with you. So Georgina Alana Lane, who is at Gina Alana Lane, put, "You're tearing me apart, guys." So good nice. Quote and works Ooh. Nicely.
"You're tearing me apart, Lisa."
You've nailed it if we ever do a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Ben's going to play him.
Josh Morris at Movie Guy Morris. "Watched it. It's that fine line between black or white, good or evil, masterpiece or abomination, but mostly it's fucking dire."
Yep.
You nailed it.
He should get a job.
Yeah.
Not in general. He probably has got a job.
Get down to the job centre.
So lazy, Josh. The Blaze podcast. They're really good guys. Yeah. At 90210 Blaze. "You are my rose, you are my rose, you are my rose." Yeah. I'm so sorry, guys. Samir Khalid, which is at DemonCleaner01. "A masterpiece, absolute masterpiece of what the fuckery." "Rivals Troll 2 for the best, worst film ever."
See, now, Troll 2. That's one that, as he rightly says, that's one that gets talked about in the same breath as The Room. So
I watched a documentary about that as well.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, yeah. A potential rewatch in the future and maybe talk about the documentary as well. So
that would be good.
Stay tuned for that one in
the future. I love that film.
It's more, I'll give it an 8.
Gitana, at Gitana Duca, put, "A definite classic, # ooh, Dougie." I'm happy with that. WFOD, which is at WFODX, has put, "It isn't very well made, # spoiler alert." He's not wrong.
No, he's right. If there was a prize for sort of 5-6 word review.
Yeah, nailed it.
At Beck18, "So incredibly bad, it's good."
Nope.
I think that's the first time she's seen it.
Nope.
Adam disagrees.
At Podcase Study, "Why would you do this and put your listeners through that?" Actually quite angry, like, question us.
Sorry. Unsubscribe then.
In all fairness, don't.
Tell everyone you love us.
In all fairness, we didn't ask you to watch it. We said we were watching it.
No, we did. We actually said to people, "Watch this along with us and talk about it."
Well, I didn't ask you to watch it.
Finally, Nick Eversfield, good friend of ours. He's actually done the quote. "I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. Do it. Oh, hi, Mark."
"I did not hit her. I did not do it. I did not hit her. It's not true. Oh, hi, Mark."
On that note, it's my choice.
Oh, yeah.
We really don't know what we're going to hear from the rest of the guys. When Ben announced this, we had no idea at all. These guys have got no idea this week. I listened back to all our rewatches, quite a lot actually, and I found that when we did Star Wars with George Lucas, you know, mm-hmm. we had a lot of laughs and a lot of fun. So I'm revisiting George Lucas again this time.
Here we go.
Howard the Duck. So next rewatch, next time, is going to be Howard the Duck.
Christ. Looking forward to that one, Adam?
Nope.
Can I just ask now, have you ever seen that film?
Do you know, I think I saw it as a kid, but I don't really remember the ins and outs.
Cool. Oh. Next time, Howard the Duck. Let's get straight in there, lads. Questions and answers.
Hurrah.
Thanks to everyone on Twitter, Facebook. You've been great as always and give us loads of questions and loads of new listeners, so we really appreciate this. The first one, at Comical Theory. Who do you think will die in Captain America Civil War?
Captain America.
I honestly thought this was, who do you think is going to die next?
What, in the world?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think Steve Rogers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know enough about it, so I'll leave it to the experts. At David McCabe 32, who would you like to see play the Riddler if that ever came back onto the big screen?
Jim Carrey again.
Yeah, he didn't get the credit he deserves.
No.
I'd like to see someone like Ryan Gosling. Just go for it. He would probably be dreadful and it would ruin his career, but just give it to him and see what he does with it.
Do you know what? I think the more I think about it now, with these sort of big, loud characters, I'd rather it was an unknown.
Yeah.
I'd want the character to speak for itself. The problem with some, I mean, there are many problems with Batman and Robin and Batman Forever and those shit films, but Batman Forever, the problem with Riddler was Jim Carrey. I thought he was great fun in that film, to be honest, but it was you were watching Jim Carrey, you weren't watching the Riddler. So I'd like it to be an unknown.
Yeah, it's an odd one because it all depends on how you do the Riddler as well. It just, an unknown would probably have the material that do a good job based from the comic, whereas, like Ben said, if you get someone who's already established, especially the tendency to go towards the comedic actor for someone like him, they're going to just portray it as themselves as a comedian playing the Riddler.
Yeah, which is exactly what Carey did.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. I think Jared Leto would be good if he wasn't being the Joker. I see him being a bit over the top and all like, yeah, but...
That sounds like Gizmo.
Yeah, get Gizmo. So none of us have really got anyone, just Jim Carrey. Yeah. Or no one.
Yeah, Jim Carrey or just don't make the film.
Or the kid off Mac and Me.
Definitely.
Ben, which is at Benny Buckingham. This is one for you, Adam. With video games now becoming a lot more, you know, cinematic, i.e. The Last of Us, do you think it won't be long until we see a decent, well-made video game movie?
There's no need to. As you've just said yourself.
Shouldn't have to.
The whole thing is video games are already becoming cinematic.
Yeah.
They're already playing like a film, so...
Just carry on as you are.
They're putting The Last of Us on the screen, and you're going to have to cut so much out of that game just to put it on the screen for... Because production studios just want a two-hour film. They want people in and out. Mm-hmm. And then in for the next showing.
Yeah.
They're not interested in good storytelling.
No. And they'll want some bullshit cliffhanger so it can become a franchise, because that's the key word these days.
So, in short, no, because I think
you'll get it from
the studio will get involved too much. If someone is left to their own device to do it and are a fan of the franchise of the game, I think you could potentially see one then.
I think purely playing the odds, there has to be a good movie based on a video game at some point. There have been so many bad ones that eventually a good one must happen. I think probably the best chance of it might be Assassin's Creed.
Or
purely because Fassbender's in it. Warcraft as well, potentially, yeah.
Just because I think Blizzard are actually heavily involved in the production of that as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think Blizzard would bow to the studio's demands.
Aaron Sturzel on Facebook. He's had two questions. First one is ridiculous. Cheating. Name your favourite movie from the year you were born. Not going to happen. Stick around for Skip Back in Time. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it is going to be about 20 episodes down the line, because we're most wars born in the 80s.
Well,
but...
mine's 88, and it's literally 2008 this episode, so it is 20 episodes from now.
There you go. So stick around, mate. Keep listening, and we'll get that answer. But we'll also answer your other question. A lot of these this week. Who would you like to see play Batman or James Bond in the future?
See, James Bond, I love the fact that the other day someone asked Jason Statham if he'd be up for it.
What did he say?
He said, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And it would be a very, very different Bond, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Cockney thug Bond.
That'd be good.
Give him a go. Yeah. Give him a go. But Idris Elba, I don't give a shit about people saying, oh, he can't be black, you know, Bond's white. Oh, fuck that. So what? Yeah, Idris Elba would be smooth as hell. Fassbender would be a great Bond as well.
Yeah, I think he would. I agree with that. With regards to Batman, just wait and see Affleck.
Yeah, give him a go.
Yeah. The only thing I did think the other day, and you probably both laugh at me, but I thought as a Bruce Wayne type character, Mads Mikkelsen, I think he'd be really cool as the Bruce Wayne, but not in then the bat suit. But I love him in Hannibal and think of him in that suit and be that real kind of rich billionaire power guy. But as soon as you give him a suit, he wouldn't do it.
He's too creepy.
Yeah.
He's brilliantly creepy, but too creepy. He's a villain all the way.
Yeah, he is.
He could be a Ra's al Ghul or something, but he could, Riddler. I don't think. He'd be a very odd Riddler, wouldn't he? Jesus, he'd be terrifying.
Exactly.
If they wanted to go really dark with it.
All right, we're shotgunning that in case someone does this. You've heard it today.
Yeah.
We're having it.
Because if they went down the route of Nigma being the police forensic scientist first, that'd be an awesome Riddler. Mads Mikkelsen, done.
It.
Question answered.
Nailed it.
There you go. For Bond, I have no idea, so I'm going to agree and say the guy that plays Luther.
Idris Elba.
Yeah, he'd be great. Ben Davis on Facebook. This is a bit what you say, actually, Ben. More often than not, children are absolute dog shit in films.
Correct.
In my opinion, anyway. Well, in all of our opinions. Do you have a favourite role portrayed by a child?
The lad from The Imitation Game.
Yeah?
Yeah, you loved him.
He was very good.
The guy in The Sixth Sense before he got fat and ate that kid in The Sixth Sense.
yeah.
In Tusky, he looks weird. His face didn't grow.
Hayley Joel Osment.
Yeah, but the rest of him grew.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, everything but his face grew. Yeah. Even his ears and his cheeks, but his eyes, no, he's weird. I thought he was Tusk.
Who's Hermione from Potter? What's her name?
Emma Watson.
She was a good child actress. The other two, not so much.
Yeah.
But she was good.
Can't think of anyone else.
There aren't many.
No.
Definitely not that little pissant kid from Jerry Maguire.
Oh, I hate him.
I wanted to kick him off a bridge.
Was he not in... he was in something else as well.
Like the kid from Liar Liar.
Oh, he's annoying.
Oh, God,
his hair.
That bowl haircut. Oh, Christ.
I'm trying to think what else he was in. Hopefully a car crash. let's have a question there. What's the kid you hate the most in films?
Oh,
is it him?
I could do a top 10.
But him.
Most of them. All of them.
The kid in Liar Liar is well annoying.
Not hate. Natalie Portman.
Oh, is it a great child actress? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you've nailed it. There's no one ever better. Well done. But hey, all the kid off Miss Doubtfire, the son, he's got that annoying hair as well, like a curtain that keeps flicking. I hate him.
Which Jurassic Park film was it with the little girl who was a gymnast and she like escapes the velociraptors by swinging on the bars? I hate her so much. I want him to bite her legs off.
We're going to do a special in a few months' time. It's going to be Ben on his own in a room with a microphone talking about how much he hates all these kids. Is that good?
So you have a special with Ben on his own in a room talking about kids.
Kid Brilliant. To the end. I like it.
I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
No. Super Nerds UK. Which scene do you dislike the most from a really class film? I've got to probably go with The Dark Knight. As Adam has said many a times, it's a piece of beauty. But there's that one scene with the bat pod that goes up the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that stupid skin. It even does that noise. And then just flips round.
Awful.
And that's after a really good chase scene where it's really well done. So... can we all agree on this? That is probably the worst.
No, I agree with it, because it's so out of place as well in the film. It just doesn't see... it seems like one of those silly, cheesy things you would have in one of the old Batman films, not something you'd have in a Nolan Batman. So, I agree.
I don't think he had anything to do with that scene. I think he went on holiday and they were like, let's just put it in now. It'll sell a few. Kids will love that and cheer.
And it's just after the bit where he's gone under the truck.
Yeah, and that's really well done.
He's pulled the truck over. The truck's gone flying over, crashed on the floor.
Yeah.
And then he rides up this wall and goes, shit.
And you paid to see it 10 times.
Yeah, we're having that. Couple more. Suffolk Cosplay 22. His question literally is, can I be in Mac and Me 2?
It depends what cosplay you're wearing. If you want to audition as Mac, then get in line.
Yep. See, I'm happy to accept seeing an audition from him.
Yeah.
If you send us a tape of yourself, even as Ronald, we might have been... can we give that away? He might be in it.
Well, we're certainly looking to. Well, we're in negotiation.
Yeah, there are irons in the fire. Let's leave it at that. Yeah.
Yeah. On that note, I believe that you're just waiting for the solicitors to sign off the script for next week.
Yeah.
We're going to have an update. Yeah. Mac and Me too.
I'm just letting Liga run an eye over it, make sure it's all kosher, and then we'll have an update next time.
So next time you come round, big time.
But just on that. It annoys me because I've received a lot of people coming up to me saying, how's Mac and Me 2 coming along? They don't understand how much work goes into this.
Yeah, no. It's a process.
We don't just knock up a script for 20 minutes on our lunch break.
No.
That'd be crazy talk.
We have to run it past legal. Mm-hmm. There are agents that need to get involved because, you know, Mac and Me was a big film.
Yeah.
The directors we're talking to have to give it the nod.
Yeah.
So, big announcement next week.
Yeah.
Guys, we're gonna give you as much as we can as soon as we can.
We've got a title already. Come on, guys.
But you have to wait for the script pieces and things like that. They're going to come out in drips and drabs as soon as we can get them to you.
I'm going to put a question to you both that I want you to think about. Mm-hmm. Bit of a challenge. You haven't known about this. I've been thinking, what is the best movie poster of all time? This is something I was thinking about the other day, looking at all the classic iconic artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I want next week us all to bring our number one choice. We're then going to stick it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and whichever gets the most likes and see what the public agree gets to be in Mac and Me 2.
What, dude? The poster?
No, the winner. The winner of us three.
Oh, right. We're all in it anyway.
Okay. Like, you just get pride. You get pride for that episode. But I'm interested to see who you both bring to the poster, and then we'll put it out to the public.
All right.
Happy on that?
Yeah.
All right. Don't sound too keen, will you? Fucking hell.
It's because you went from offering a prize to pride.
Yeah. It's always good. Pride is good.
You should have said, like, a can of dark fruit Strongbow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Right. Goes down smooth, that.
It really does. It's one of the tastiest drinks of all time.
All right, you get a crate of that.
Crate of what?
Dark fruits.
By who?
The cider company that you guys love, Strongbow.
Strongbow.
All right, then, brilliant. Next time. Next time, keep your questions coming. It's Twitter at STTE Podcast, facebook.com/skiptotheendpodcast, or podcast@skiptotheend.co.uk if you want to email us.
Strongbow, Strongbow, Strongbow. That brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Skip to the End podcast. Lads, I assume you're now going to be rushing home to watch The Room again.
Definitely. I've literally just got it here on my phone and start watching it now, and then the rest when I get in.
I've got some chilled Strongbow dark fruit ready to drink when I get home as well.
That's always the number one choice.
Excellent news. So next time round, we're going to be reviewing Entourage, the spin-off film of the long-running TV series.
Shouldn't have to.
Yeah. We're not exactly thrilled about it, but there's bugger all else out. So join us for that. That would be fun. But thankfully, we've got lots of other cool features. So we're also going to be having a topic. So, Adam, what are we going to be talking about?
Your worst five movies you've ever seen.
Amazing.
It'd be good if Entourage made that list.
And it might very well do.
If not, tune Howard in. The Duck might.
Yeah, tune in next week. So there you go. You've given it away there. So what's the rewatch?
Howard the Duck. And if you're listening right now, listen. Get on Twitter, get on Facebook, tell us as well what you think. We want to hear your thoughts like we did with The Room.
And if you've never seen it, watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, get involved, join the conversation. We'll discuss it with you next time round. And we're also going to be skipping back in time to 2007. Now, before we sign off, do you know what, Adam?
It's that time again.
Yeah, it's been a couple of episodes since we've had one of Mark's new feature ideas. And these are always winners. These are always pure gold.
Generally.
We actually had someone on Twitter say what happened last time. That's true.
Well, what, because there wasn't one?
Yeah.
Did not explain
only
that...
Only one person.
After the last episode, we had to get legal to run an eye over some of
yeah.
Right, guys, this is quite a good one this week. A lot of thought, like 3 weeks worth of thought gone into this one.
Yeah.
Because you don't get it on the MCM specials. You've got to come to this for the good stuff. Right, are you ready? What happens is, us three, we all go and get crippled.
Brilliant. Okay? Because that's a PC word. That's fine.
So what happens is, we go to Alton Towers or... or we break our legs by somehow. We end up getting injured somehow, okay? So we're all in wheelchairs, yep.
I don't know what's going on.
Listen, we then pick two or three films that make us feel better in ourselves, so we get to feel uplifted and confident again and good about life. It helps us fix ourselves, okay? We each pick the three films. We sit there in our wheelchairs or plastic cast or whatever we do to watch these films. What's the feature called?
I don't know.
Crip to the Mend.
Crip to the Mend?
Yeah.
Christ.
Oh, Jesus. Crip to the Mend. It's good, isn't it?
That is the worst thing you've ever said.
And there's some competition.
Yeah.
Good God.
I will try and better it, but I might need a couple of episodes off to beat this.
Holy shit, that's going to get us. So there must be something that someone can do about that.
Is
what you just said, would that be constituted as a hate crime?
Yeah,
no,
I think so,
it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's a hate crime.
I just think we need to just cut that.
It's all
Mark's
good.
Mark's in control of editing, so...
He's not going to cut it.
No, thank you, and we'll see you next time.